one of my top values is love of learning. So I'm, you know, wanting to do learning all the time. And that's learning about myself as well along the way. Like, it's not like, oh, tick, I've done the work and now I'm great as a coach. It's a never-ending journey and there's always things that will come up.
Welcome to the Phase 4 podcast, inspired by Vishen Lakhiani and Ajit Nawalkar, co-founders of EverCoach, a division of Vine Valley. In this podcast, we speak to coaches and creatives about where they were, where they are, and where they are going. This is the intersection of what we focus on expands, and your story is your superpower. My guest today is Karen Hart. She's a personal coach helping moms and women overcome overwhelming chaos to break through limiting beliefs and find their true purpose. And today she's going to come on and share some of what she does with us. And Karen, welcome to the podcast.
Awesome. Thank you. And hello. Thanks so much for your time.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. I understand it's very early where you are right now, so I appreciate your time. So I usually begin kind of with just tell us a little bit more about yourself and how you ended up in this space.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm a mum of four daughters who are coming into their teenage years. So, and I guess I'd done the thing that you have to do, and I'd come out of school, went to uni, got a job, and I was there, and I was like, this is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life kind of thing. And so you sort of like, so I did all the study. I studied up to my master's and got all the, you know, the paperwork, continued nursing throughout the always doing, always on. I studied while I was working full time and, you know, just added the pile on the pile. And we lived in Tassie for a little while, and then we left, traveled for a bit. And then I got into management while we were traveling around, because I was like, this is the next step. This is what you do in nursing. And, you know, that's what I've done all the study for. I've worked hard to get here. And so I'd done that. And I think I had this realization probably once I started getting into it. I was like, is this what I really want? When you start to see the directors and when they're on at work and when they're, you know, turning up with emails and the expectations, and I'm like, oh gosh, oh, they're just different. They don't have children. They don't have, you know, I've got to do this. Like, this is what you kind of do. So you just push through and you're just like, this is what I've got to do. We moved again and I got into another management role and it just spiraled. It was just completely overtaking my life and my kids were just pushed to the side, but I couldn't see it. I couldn't, you know, I was so thick into it of proving myself, proving who I was, and, you know, turning up super early, staying late. Oh, the kids are late. That's, you know, all of those things. And I started working with a coach and I had this realization that, oh gosh, there's actually more to life. I don't have to be a nurse for 60 years. Like, there's something else. And, you know, almost gave me permission to be like, actually, there's something else that you can do with your life, and that's okay. So I'd always been interested in personal development. And when I look back and reflect, part of my job was coaching. It just was not, you know, specifically. And I think in all the work that I was doing in management, I was like, I really want to help people who want to help themselves. And especially even in healthcare, like, come in, I work mostly in the emergency department and have done for over 18 years. And when people come in and you're like, you know, what's going on with our healthcare system? Like, we've got these people coming in who have got all these stories, have got all these, you know, narratives around how life should be. And then they're coming in sick to us. And I just had that realization that that's not the life I want to live. That's not where I want to be. And so I just really dug deep into and did the work around myself to then be like, actually, my purpose is to be serving others and to be helping them achieve what I've been able to achieve, giving them permission, giving them the you know, the supports and the tools to be able to do this for themselves.
Yeah, that's powerful, right? Once you do the work on yourself and you realize, oh, and even you're saying you're going through it with like blinders on, not realizing that there's other options. I was there, like not with nursing, but just I had this path set out for me and I followed the path. And then I'm like, same thing, probably turned like 30-ish. And it's like, is this it? We're going to keep doing this every day over and over again and not see anything different. And so you did the work. I love that part. I like to draw that out in the beginning because there's two different types. Most coaches, probably 80% or higher, are people who have done the work, gone through something, and then so they can understand. Some coaches, yeah, they're just always a coach. They're always a speaker, whatever. But I wanted to draw that out because it allows you to do what you're doing now. It allows you to empathize, not just sympathize. And so what are you doing now?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm still studying, still getting lots of tools. One of my top values is love of learning. So I'm, you know, wanting to do learning all the time. And that's learning about myself as well along the way. Like, it's not like, oh, tick, I've done the work and now I'm great as a coach. It's a never-ending journey. And there's always things that will come up or like, oh, that was a challenge in being able to really reflect on the language or the things that you're using. And so I'm working mostly with women who are mums, who are, you know, high achievers and just, you know, doing the do. They're like, this is what I've got to do and I've got to do more and I've got to have more and I've got to, you know, all of those things. But in the bottom of it, they just don't value themselves enough and they don't think that they're good enough. And so they have that imposter syndrome and things like that. So their health suffers, their family suffers, and the things that they truly value. And so I work with them through like a three-step process of self-discovery, self-trust, and self-leadership. And I use hypnosis in that as well because it's really, you know, a lot of the things that we do, we're like, what, you know, I don't have the motivation and I can't get going. And so using the hypnosis just really allows to tap into that unconscious mind for us to be able to, you know, embed that at a better level for them to be able to access that as they work through all of this.
So that's awesome. So the three pillars, self-discovery, self-trust, self-leadership. And then did you say 1 year of hypnosis with that?
Oh, no. Just I use hypnosis as one of the tools for that reason. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So hypnosis is awesome. Hypnotherapy. And so maybe can you expand on that a little bit and why is it so powerful?
Yeah, look, we often, like 95% of what we do is unconscious. Like it just happens. It's all part of our habits. It's all everything that we do every day. We think we have so much control over everything what we do, but actually we don't. And it's all just part of, it just happens. And if you stop and actually go, yeah, and you think about the steps that you take every day, like you don't think about brushing your teeth, you don't think about brushing your hair or, you know, those little steps, it just happens. And so if we can, you know, embed in our unconscious mind, it's so suggestible. And with the unconscious mind, it's got the RAS system, which is it's a part of the brain that then really helps us take in over 2 million bits of information, but we actually only can process about 160 bits. And so that RAS system is working hard to make sure that we take notice of those 160 bits. And so if we're not focusing on the right things, if we're not using the right language, then they're the things that will hold us back. So with hypnosis, we're able to really get into that unconscious mind, which is suggestible, and we're able to change that RAS system to be able to focus on the things to enable us to be able to move forward.
Yeah. So RAS system, reticular activating system, the easiest definition is you go buy a blue car, all of a sudden you start seeing blue cars everywhere. They're already there, but they weren't important to you. Now, because it's important to you, it's part of your awareness. And so basically with hypnosis, you're saying that we can tell ourselves what we want to see and control that RAS system. And because we're doing it from a state of ease and it's not forced, because we're attacking, because we're hitting the subconscious, the walls are down, the guard is down, and we can just literally drop thoughts in there that are more empowering.
Yeah, absolutely. And it just makes it so much easier. I've worked with somebody with weight loss, and she texted me just the other day and said that she's down 10 kilos. And it's just fantastic because she's still doing the work. And you're like, yeah, it just comes so easy now.
Don't you love calls like that or emails like that?
Absolutely.
And so I think when we talk about the subconscious, it's so important, right? That 95%. So like, just think about it like my ball. One is huge, the 95%, and a little one is 5%. And you're going to try to get the little one. You're going to try to override it with the big one. It's not going to work. Maybe that's a bad analogy. Your website's pretty cool. I like it. There's a quote on it from Audrey Hepburn, and I kind of say something similar. I never knew it was an Audrey Hepburn quote, but nothing is impossible. The word itself says, I am possible. And I love that.
Oh, look, absolutely. And I think the more that, like, when I'm working with people, it's so interesting the language that they use. And so it's just really reframing that and putting it into a different perspective to be like, oh yeah, actually I am. And it is what I can do. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's so many things like this, right? So you're not even changing the word or adding or taking out. You have the same word. You're just looking at it differently. I've told this before, but I'll tell it to you. So this, it was a piece of a sunglasses and it found it down by the pond, just stuck into the dirt, right? And my son comes and he's like, Dad, look, if you look at it this way, it changes what you're looking at. I'm like, whoa. For a little kid, it's pretty profound.
Oh, absolutely. And I think, like, as coaches, like, that's our, you know, even as a nurse, that's our job, is to help people see things from a different perspective. Like, and just being able to change, you know, ask those questions that are really good for them to just sort of think about things. We don't have to give them the answers. And often I will just leave with some really powerful questions at the end that they don't need to give me answers for, but it's more that they just need to have a think about that themselves and do the reflection, and it'll play on their mind. And they come back and they're like, that was really interesting. Thank you so much, you know, like, for being able to bring that forward, because it is just that different perspective. And I think we often, especially as women, we go to our friends and, you know, we sort of banter along and we think that our friends are going to be our coach. And actually they just kind of buffer us. They just say the same things as what, when they see they're in with us, you know. And I think part of coaching is you're out of the box with a person and you can actually see different sides of things. Yeah.
Yeah, I love it. And it is. There's like, sometimes the questions I'll ask people, it's like stunning that like they've never thought about it. And it's almost like they were never given permission, or they were waiting for permission. And it's like, oh, I've never thought about what I want to do with the rest of my life. Okay.
Absolutely. And I think I'm also finding that right now with my daughter, you know, they're age 10 through to 15. And, you know, my 15-year-old, like, got work experience and all of those things. And she's like, well, I don't know what I want to do for the rest of my life. Like, this is too hard. And I just reframing it, because, like, I was told, like, this is what you're going to do. I wasn't allowed to have a gap year and have to work hard and get the job and those kinds of things. Whereas I think being able to have that, you know, it's hard because you feel like you have to set yourself up with these things. However, when you, so you don't want to have like 1,000 options, because then that becomes overwhelming. But just narrowing it down to, what do you actually enjoy? Because this is what you're going to be doing. And definitely, like, in the path, like, I'd always wanted to be a nurse and those things. And so you kind of, that's where you go. There's no other option. So when I got to uni time, it was like, you're going to be a nurse. That's it. I didn't even open the blinkers to actually see what else was out there. And so just helping and supporting them through this around, well, you know, you do have options. What do you really enjoy doing? What do you, you know, have fun doing, and those kinds of things. And if you don't like English, then you're probably not going to go into something like that. And if you don't like maths, then it's probably not the, you know, it's really finding that, because we're not all good at everything.
Yeah, I love it. Even the gap year, like it, I don't know if it still is, but there's almost like a negative card. Oh, you don't know what you want to do when you're 18 years old. No. And now it's like, man, go take the gap year. You might figure out something you've never even thought of, and it just opens up your horizons.
Absolutely. And I think I'm just so much more for the gap year now. I was such a better student when I went back after than when I went straight out of school. Like, I was just so much more focused and those sorts of things. And I'm like, oh, I'm such a better student as I got older.
That's hilarious. I'm just looking at your website and there's a lot of different offerings. So maybe can you talk about some of what kind of coaching you do, one-on-one groups, all that stuff?
Yeah, look, I'm really just sort of nutting out as to what people are after. So I've got hypnosis sessions that I can do that's really tailored to them. I do one-on-one coaching. I haven't yet got a group coaching, but looking at setting that up by the middle of the year, so that that's a program that I have as well. So just really fleshing all that out at the moment. But definitely it's been one-on-one coaching and hypnosis, or a combination of the two that I've been doing. Mostly, and that's how people kind of work with me. So they come to me with a problem, you know, or thinking about those things, and then we work out a bit of a program for them around, you know, what's really going on for them, and sort of nut out how many sessions. So it's not a kind of one size fit all, and you know, not everybody's got time to turn up for a 1 hour session every week or those kinds of things. So it's really just working out what's best for them.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love it. There's something powerful about hypnosis where, like, I'll listen to these recordings when I go to sleep and I'll feel way better sometimes. And then if I don't, it's like not there.
Definitely.
You make like recordings for people as well, or?
Yeah. So it's in my in the weight loss hypnosis program, which is just a 6 week program that they do. They get a, morning recording, because weight loss is not something that also just happens overnight either. And so these are sometimes the things that you need to continue to keep doing. And so they get a morning recording and a night recording that they can listen to outside of that. And then if they like, and often they don't find the time, whether or not they can have another recording that I listen to each week after they've finished working with me as well. So again, just tailoring it to what they're after is sort of what I do. But yeah, definitely I give them recordings as well.
Yeah, I love it. Speaking like, let's say weight loss, how much of that is just the mindset where there's like, what's it called? Binge eating and this kind of things, because if it's just a mindset, you form this habit over years.
Oh, look, weight loss is very convoluted. I think there's so many multifacets to it. Although it is, it's really, you get into, I have to have, and, you know, I'm stressed, I need to drink the wine, I need to have the chocolate and those kinds of things. So it's really just trying to turn that switch around and be like, and, you know, drinking more water and focusing on that and focusing on moving your body. It does, you don't, you know, if you're 150 kilos or something, that's exercise is really hard. And so, you know, even just getting outside for 10 minutes, it's just changing, it's just moving the body more than anything. And just, again, it's those habit stacking, making it easy, you know, those kinds of things. And by implanting that in the subconscious mind, then it's, you know, it enables the RAS system then to be able to look for those things. Oh, I need some more water, rather than looking for those chocolates at night.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, one, it's easy tip is just don't drink your calories. And it's just, you know,
water. Absolutely. The big one. And like when you're stuck in all of those, and I was only talking about this with another nurse, that the culture of nursing is drinking. And so you get into this, like people don't question the alcohol intake that you have as a nurse or as a healthcare professional. You know, it's okay to go home post night shift and have a drink. It's okay to finish the end of the day and your shift, doesn't matter what time it is, have a drink. I catch up on, I have a drink. Like it just becomes, nobody questions that culture and that behavior. And you're absolutely right. And then a lot of them, you know, not to generalize, but are overweight or have health issues. And it's related to those habits from a culture that just doesn't ask any questions.
Yeah. My wife's a teacher and she says the same thing where like all the teachers are grabbing for the bottle of wine at 5 o'clock. And it's like, man.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's, you know, there's a slight shift happening, although it's just, it's really interesting.
Yeah. I'm really curious about some of your mentors, because a lot of what you're doing, and it sounds similar to stuff I'm doing. So I would love to know maybe what are some books that helped you along the way or some mentors that helped you?
Yeah, so I've got a lot of personal development books, but Atomic Habits from James Clear is one that is just really solid. I think I've read that at least 2 times and on to my 3rd time. Like it, just really getting, and my daughter's read it and she doesn't read. She was like, oh, actually it was really interesting. So, and I'm currently reading, Limitless by Jimmy Quick, which is great. So again, just changing that mind and just really breaking down that, you know, we're not the unlimited, their imagination. We can actually do whatever we want. So that's really interesting. And mentors, look, I followed Tony Robbins for a really long time. I was so lucky to be able to go to his Unleashed Power Within Australia just last year, been on the bucket list for a while. So that was fantastic. And then following on from him, so, I mean, there's just so many that are around that you can find that are, you know, I think it's Joe Dispenza, you know, Dean Graziosis. It really depends what, you know, whether it's business, whether it's, you know, quantum, again, that becomes my love of learning where I just want to soak it all in. So, yeah.
Yeah, I got all these books right here. I got Dispenza's here, Atomic Habits. I love it. I went to a Tony Robbins event, and it's probably the reason we're sitting here right now, but at the time he said, how could you take the worst thing that ever happened to you and make it the best thing that ever happened to you? And I was just like, whoa, because we all have story trauma, right? But how could you kind of take that and turn it into it? And that's where my tagline in my company is like, your story is your superpower. Either you've gone through enough stuff that made you and you're still here, and so that's your superpower. Or if it's not, then okay, what do you want to create? Let's create it. And that can be your superpower as well. There's a word, Japanese word called Kaizen, and I learned it in the book Grit by Angela Duckworth, but it means continuous improvement. And it sounds like that's what you're saying, right? It's a good way to stay humble and to always keep growing. And the second you think you know everything, it's over, right? And it doesn't come, I don't know, for me, it's ugly and I don't like your people like that. It's like, no, thank you.
Absolutely. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah, I've heard that before you, but when I was at work. So yeah, definitely. And it is, it's fantastic.
Amazing. I ask everyone this. This is the Phase 4 podcast, and Phase 4 in the 6-phase meditation by Vishen Lakhiani is all about creating your future 3 years from today. So where is Karen 3 years from today?
Oh, I love dreaming and I'm very big picture and get lost in everything. So but where am I? Look, I really want to just share my story, get out there and really help people. And definitely it's working with loads more women and really getting them out of that spiral and making them see their own truth and really discovering themselves and then leading themselves in that way. You know, I'd love to be talking. I hope to be not nursing at all, have quit to be able to do this full time. So, you know, and at some point I'd love to be able to working with the teenage as well, because if we can instill these practices and these habits and these, you know, things and give them the tools at a younger age, then they can just grow so much more with these. Mm.
Yeah, it looks like you're about to get lots of practice with teenagers.
Yes, and 4 girls, so it's very interesting time, can I say?
Man, you'll be able to crush audiobooks just driving them around everywhere in the car, right?
Oh, I do. And I take it in the car and they're like, oh, do I have to listen to your book?
We're the same, man. We're always driving. My kids are in like competitive dance and it's like every day.
Oh,
and so yep. They're always driving somewhere, but it's awesome. I guess as we begin to wind down, if this episode resonates with you, please like, subscribe, share, but no hard sell, and reach out to Karen. She's got not just coaching, but also hypnotherapy, and she can help you. And she's been there, so it's not like she's just reading it out of a book. She actually knows the feelings, the symptoms, and all the things you're going through. So I guess kind of as before I ask my final question, I always like to let the guests take it wherever they want, and that could be selling something. If you have something to sell, message of hope or inspiration, somewhere you're going, some travel, some events coming up, wherever you want. Take it wherever you want.
Oh, look, my thing of inspiration would just be if when you're in it, it's so hard to reach out for support. And so it's just if you've got a little something that's saying to you, and often we can block that out. And so it's just really listening. The little things that your body or your mind are telling you that something's not quite right, and to reach out for support. I know I was definitely one, like, I'm not going to show anybody that I haven't got this under control and that there's actually something, you know, that real facade, but just to really let that down, because your life can change so much and be so more fulfilling from that one change.
Yeah, that's beautiful. It's hard. It reminds me of clouds, right? When you're going through it, it feels like those dark clouds are never going to lift, but the sun is always there. You're the sun, and it's always there. So I love it. My final question is, how can people reach you?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm on Instagram, probably the best. I am on Facebook. I do have a Facebook group that people can get into called The Epic Woman, and it's really just around connecting women who are trying to, you know, I'm all about empowering each other and going together. It's not a competition. We're all here to, you know, really all work together. But yeah, so it's Karen Hart Coaching. Same with the website. It's just all the W's, karenhartcoaching.com. So that's the easiest way to get hold of me.
I love it. Collaboration over competition and a heart-centered business. Karen, I'm grateful for your time today. Thank you so much.
Oh, no, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.